I pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit you might take my words and speak into our hearts and minds, that we might live more fully for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated. Well, can I start by wishing you all a very happy new year? You may think that I've got my calendar a little mixed up, but today is Advent Sunday, which marks the start of the church's year. And I wonder, who's got an Advent calendar ready for tomorrow? Anyone? Quite a few? Yeah, good. Pleased to see it. In our family, we've got a tradition that's gone on for, my oldest is 29 now, ever since they were first born, that each of my children, and indeed my nieces and nephews, get sent an Advent calendar by my mum and dad every year. They still do it, and they get a Cadbury's Advent calendar each year to open. I and my brother and my sister don't get sent one by my parents, which always makes me feel a little hard done by. So most years, I actually use every day in Advent the free Domino's Pizza Advent calendar that tends to come through the post. I've not had one yet this year, so I might be not even having that. Though last year, a friend gave me an Advent calendar with a different type of cheese behind every door. That was a pretty good Advent. The other tradition we have in our family is that we have an Advent candle, and each day, normally at tea time during Advent, we're supposed to remember to light it so that the next number goes down. There's one on the kitchen table already waiting for tomorrow. And normally there's at least one, probably two occasions during Advent where we both forget it for a couple of days and then have to do 3 days at once, or we finish tea and wander off, leaving the candle still lit, and come back and about 5 days have burnt out. Anyone else relate to that? Not the only one. Good. But with the start of Advent today, that means, of course, that there are only 25 days left until Christmas. And I wonder, are you ready? Are you ready? Though I think it might be a bit sad if you were ready already, with all your presents wrapped and bought, all the cards written and posted, and so on. But will you be ready? Will you be ready? Or are you one of those people who every year have a mad rush and a panic on Christmas Eve? We know for the whole year that it's coming and exactly what day it's coming. And yet often we're still not ready come the day itself. And that's just for Christmas, an arbitrary date picked to celebrate a past event, Jesus' first coming into the world. But Jesus here in the gospel reading that we just heard from Matthew 24, he's talking about his coming again. Not just remember his first coming as we do at Christmas time, but remembering his return, looking forward to his return, his second coming in glory, in judgment, and in consummation, in fulfillment, which for us may be on his return here to earth, if it happens in our lifetime, or it may be by our death and our going to join him in glory. But either way, it's a real event. It's a future event. And therefore, the question is even more important. Are we ready? Now, the context here, as I say, is Jesus is coming again. It's given at the start of the chapter. In the question that his disciples asked him, they were walking through the temple one day, and the disciples say, "See how impressive these buildings are." And Jesus says, "Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." And he goes on to talk about things that will happen to connect it with the second coming. And so the disciples ask him the question, "Well, tell us when this will happen. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And throughout church history, a whole lot of mumbo jumbo, a whole lot of rubbish has been written and even preached about the second coming. People get really worked up about all sorts of unhelpful and unknowable details and speculation. My favourite example of that is probably a classic TV sketch from about 50 years or more ago now by the comedians Peter Cook and Dudley Moore. They are portraying a cult who are expecting the coming of Jesus, and they're counting down to 4 o'clock that afternoon, and it counts down with ever more hysteria, a group of about 20 people chanting and singing, counting down, and then 10, 9, 8, they get to 4 o'clock, And there's silence for about 10 seconds. Nothing happens. They look around. And then Peter Cook says, "Right then, lads, same time again next week, shall we?" And for me, that nicely shows us the inevitable result of unhelpful speculation about the second coming. We get a distorted view that sees signs of the end times everywhere. And yet also at the same time, it leads to a detachment from reality, a sense that there's surely no way is there that this could ever happen today or tomorrow. And yet I want us to come back to today's gospel reading and to note three very simple but very vital facts that Jesus teaches us about his return here. Three vital points to take seriously at the start of this season of Advent and to allow to shape the way that we live. First fact, Christ will come again. We say that in the Creed week by week in church. It's a fact taught by Jesus, as I say, proclaimed by Christians in our worship for 2,000 years. The King will come to enter into the fullness of his kingdom. When? We don't know, and we can't know. But we're told two things in our gospel passage here about that day, and these are my second and my third points. So firstly, Christ will come again. Secondly, life will be going on as normal when it happens. Life will be going on as normal when it happens. From verse 37 of our reading again. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. From the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Life will be going on as normal, and suddenly we're told it will happen. Like a classic old song by Larry Norman on this, "I wish we'd all been ready." Talks about the suddenness, the unexpectedness of it. "I wish we'd been ready." And that's because the third fact about it, it matters how he finds us. It matters how he finds us. Jesus says, "Therefore keep watch. Keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." But understand this, if the owner of a house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. It matters how he finds us. In fact, in the verses immediately after the reading that we heard, Jesus makes this point even more starkly. Says it's like a master, rich man, who's gone away on a trip, and he puts his servant in charge of looking after the household, comes back unexpectedly. He says if he finds the servant faithfully discharging his duties, then he'll reward him. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, he'll put him in charge of all his possessions. He'll trust him. But if he comes back and he finds that the servant's been saying, "Well, the master's been gone away a long time, I'm lazy, I won't bother," and he's not doing his duty, it says the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and it's an hour he's not aware of. He'll cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's not a manual for good employment practices at all, but it's saying it matters. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're being faithful. Be ready. Christ will come again. Life will be going on as normal when it happens, and it matters how he finds us, because we're answerable to our Lord. We've been given a trust, our lives, and we're answerable to Jesus as to how we use them. And that song by Larry Norman continues like this: "I wish we'd all been ready, but there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind." Our confirmation candidates this afternoon have faced this reality. Over the past weeks, months, maybe longer, they've been thinking about God and about the things of faith and about their response to the Lordship of Jesus. And they're being confirmed today as a sign of their decision to own for themselves the truths of the gospel and to commit to living their lives as Christians, walking with God and seeking to reflect his love in their attitudes, their relationships, their work, their priorities, their decisions. And it's my joy and my privilege as a bishop, in fact, it's probably the highlight of a bishop's role, to lay hands on candidates at confirmation, to pray God's blessing and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that God would fill each of you with his Holy Spirit, to give you the strength and the resources you need to live faithfully with him in all that lies ahead. But not just for our confirmation candidates this afternoon, but for each one of us. Where are we at this afternoon in relation to our response to God? Jesus is Lord, and he will come again. That's the message of Advent. We may not know how or when, but we know that life will be going on as normal when it happens, and it matters how he finds us. So think back to Christmas. Still 25 days to go. But if you're not ready in time and all your relatives arrive on your doorstep for their Christmas dinner, it won't be any excuse to say, sorry, I'm not ready. I didn't realise it was today. It'd be pretty feeble, pretty pathetic, wouldn't it? And yet how many of us and how many people out there risk being like that when Jesus comes again? If he came today, if he had come yesterday, would you have been ready? Would I? Or would we be embarrassed or ashamed or filled with regret? The unrestored relationship, the sinful act, the unresolved debt, are standing before him. To quote Larry Norman again, I wish we'd all been ready, but there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Do we want that? Or have we got the sense to make sure that we're ready, that we're going to be able to sing a far, far better song than Larry Norman's? Ready to sing something like the last verse of one of my favourite hymns. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. As part of the confirmation, in a few minutes' time, I will ask our candidates various questions, which we call the commission, as they declare their commitment to living out various aspects of what it means to seek to walk faithfully with God and to walk for God in their lives. And I'm going to give all of us who want to the invitation to join in with our candidates, or our newly confirmed, as they'll be at that point, to give us the opportunity to together to declare that we want to be ready, that we want to be people who, yes, indeed, are looking to God to come as King and to reign in our world, in our churches, and in our lives. To ask that by the anointing of his Holy Spirit, at the start of this Advent season, that yes, indeed, we might be ready. Ready to proclaim him, ready to worship him, and ready to live for him. That's the invitation that God, our coming King, offers to each one of us this afternoon. How will you respond? Will you be ready? Let's be quiet for a moment to reflect, and then I'll pray. Lord Jesus, at the start of this Advent season, may we use this as a time of preparation, a time to make sure that we are ready. Or were there things in our lives that are wrong in our relationship with you, our standing before you, or with other people? Or may we have the discipline, the humility, the common sense to put them right, that by your Holy Spirit you would restore our relationship with you and with one another, that indeed, Lord, we may be ready. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.